Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Dreams of you, dreams of you are so fine, so fine. Since I woke up, so is mine. God has healed my heart. And darling, your love is just like music.
White snowy day on the East Coast, and as usual, I am your host, JT, and as always, at this time, I want to welcome you all to the Master Plan. That's what it is. It's the Master Plan. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about, talking about different things. We're going to recap what took place in the NFL in the playoffs briefly. And then we want to go into the conference championships this week, the AFC and the NFC conference championships. I have some interesting takes on it, some of the things that people may not have thought of before. I'm going to bring it to your light. I'm going to bring it to light along with other things about coaching moves and what I think of them. About players that may move with coaches. I'm going to bring that up to you, too. There's a bunch of things that I want to bring up, and some good news and some sad news. But let me take a brief break, and then we'll come back. Listen to this is Marvin Gaye in Just Like Music.
Music is the soul of the man. The music, baby. Music makes us happy day. Funky, 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 funky. Music makes us clouds roll by, baby.
Say what?
Your music kissed my tears and dried my eyes. Your music makes me want to sing. Girl, music is a joy to bring. Music is my heart and soul. Smoke purple.
All right, people. Let's get down to it. Now, like you know, last week there were a few games, four games to be exact. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers hosting the New York Giants, the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Houston Texans, and the San Francisco Giants hosting the New Orleans Saints, and the New England Patriots hosting the Denver Broncos. Well, everybody knows what happened there. New York Giants completely surprised the Green Bay Packers to move on. The Houston Texans put up a stiff fight, a very stiff fight, and Baltimore was fortunate enough to get out of that game. The New Orleans Saints, with the heroics of Alex Smith and Vernon Davis, sent the Saints home, and the Denver Broncos, just like they did previously in the year, regular season, completely smacked around Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos and sent them with their tail between their legs. With that being said, Chris Tucker has something to say about all four of those teams that are going home.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Yes, that's right. You got knocked out, and now it's down to four. It's the New York Giants against the San Francisco, New York Giants against the San Francisco 49ers, and the Baltimore Ravens against the New England Patriots. Now, I'm going to have some interesting takes on this. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again. It's 347-637-3220. If you want to have a dialogue online, talk to me personally. I'm here. I'm ready to banter back and forth. I listen to all opinions. I give you my straight opinion. Not anything politically correct is in my vocabulary. I say it like it is. You want to say it like it is, feel free to call in. If you don't want to do that, there's a chat room available. It's a free-for-all in the chat room. I'm telling you right now. On my program, whatever you want to say in that chat room, go for it. I'm going to respond to whatever you say, whether it's a question, a statement, or some type of comment that you want to make. Feel free, because this is a no-holds-barred show today. No holes barred. Whatever you want to vent on, anything. I don't care what it is. The subject is wide open today. We're going to talk about certain things, but I'm not locked into one particular subject. If you want to go off on a rant somewhere else about anything, politics, some other type of sports, hockey, I don't care. I don't care. This is a master plan. And the plan is today, it's a free-for-all. So let's go for it. All right, let's talk about this first. Now, I'm going to talk about these games that took place last week real briefly. We all know the scores, but there are some underlying things that took place, in my opinion, that could be a telltale sign of things to come in these up-and-coming two games that are taking place today. Now, one's on the East Coast, the other one's on the West Coast. Two East Coast teams are playing in the East Coast. One East Coast team is flying all the way to the West Coast to play a West Coast team, supposedly in bad conditions. But we'll get there when we get there. Now, one thing I want to bring up. I had brought it up on the FSP Crew show, which it airs on 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Thursday nights at the same website, and you can call at the same number. We have several programs that are taking place. I talked about this on Thursday, I want to talk about it again before I dip into any other different subjects, because I don't know if this is sad or what, but I like this player. I like his fire. I like his swag. Sometimes he opens his mouth up too much, and he puts his foot in it, and it took him a while, took him a little bit more maturity to realize his mistakes, and I think that's one of the reasons why he didn't play. Besides being hurt and maybe being a little old for a wide receiver, I think some of his comments and some of his actions in prior years finally caught up to him, and he had to sit out the complete year where there were teams that obviously need wide receivers and wouldn't go after this guy. He had to finally go and do this. I'm talking about T.O. Now, yeah, that's my quarterback. That's what I'm talking about, T.O. In the latest chapter of Terrell Owens' career move, if it was a movie, it would title it Requiem for a Wide Receiver, but it's real life. T.O., in real life, is taking what's left of his talents to. Now, I never heard of this league. The only thing I've heard of one of these leagues is the Arena Football League. There apparently must be a lot of these type of leagues around. And T.O.'s going to the Indoor Football League. He announced on Twitter and also in a video that he would play and he'll also be a part owner. Now, I don't know how much revenue he's going to generate out of this, of the Allen Wranglers. And now of the Indoor Football League. Now, supposedly it's a 16-team league, and it's mostly in middle markets. You know, it's not in really big markets. And quite naturally, that's a big drop for a man who ranks number two in all time in the NFL receiving yards. Now, I don't know if to say, I don't know. I mean, to me, this got to be pretty sad because this guy has been an elite of the elite wide receivers for a long time. And for him to fall to playing in an indoor football league, which is it's not even AAA league. This is I don't know. I mean, he's 37-year-old. He missed all the NFL season, quite naturally, after tearing his ACL. But he's going to Allen, Texas. This is where this team is based at. He's going to Allen, Texas to play in the IFL. Anybody's got any thoughts on that? Feel free, because I think this is a bad move on his part, but it is what it is. I just wanted to reiterate that. I saw that, and I had to say it on Thursday night show, and I'm bringing it back today because it really bothers me because I like this guy a lot. I don't have a crush or a man crush or anything like this, but I like him. I respect him as a player. He's a hell of a player, and to see a player like this, and you see this a lot. You see this a lot. You see players that, from our perspective, and I'm talking about the layman, people that aren't in the sport or connected with the sport, it's obvious to us that this guy's had it. He's punched his clock. There's no more left that he can't play at the same level he's used to playing at, and he's getting old. He's over the hill. But these guys, over and over again, you see them all the time, these elite athletes, it's hard for them to realize that their time is done. It's time to move on to something else. That competition that they've had since the days of Pop Warner are going to have to be channeled somewhere else, maybe in business, maybe doing analysis on some TV sports program. But from what he's doing now, it ain't happening. You got to leave. You got to go. You can't stay here. I don't know where you're going to go, but you got to get the hell out of here, meaning you got to get the hell out of the sport. So, T.O., I wish you the best of luck. I understand that you may have had some financial problems, and this may be contributing to your thought process of generating some revenue and still keeping it in the sport that you love. But sometimes, just like Kenny Rogers, and I know many people call Kenny Rogers and the Gambler movie series, you got to know when to fold up, when your hand is done. And I think, T.O., your hand is done. You got to know when to fold up and walk away and pursue something else that's going to give you that thirst for competition or that edge that you're looking for that you get when you play football. You're going to have to get that feel for that somewhere else, unfortunately. All right. Now, also in the news, as you know, the Penn State debacle with Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky is ongoing. But sad to note, and I'm pretty sure because he's a big name in sports, Joe Paterno, not too long after he was unceremoniously fired from Penn State after being there for 46 years as a coach. He had been diagnosed with cancer. Back and forth, he had chemotherapy and radiation treatment to fight the that dreaded disease, cancer. And a few days ago, that they said that Joe Paterno, he's 85 years old, took a turn for the worst. Now, from what I understand, he is in very serious condition. He's downgraded to be in serious condition. So, he has rapidly declined because he has lung cancer, and unfortunately, this is just another blow to the Paterno family. Besides what happened leading up to his firing, his son, who was on his coaching staff, is not going to be on the new coaching staff, and this is just a sad day in a college sports, a sad day for sports in general. When an icon goes down to the disgrace of what was taking place at Penn State, and then to put wood on the fire, so to speak, he contracts one of the most dreaded diseases that you can get that is not fully curable yet, is cancer. And for all intents and purposes, is basically on his deathbed because he's 85 years old, fighting lung cancer and taking a turn for the worse. It would be very difficult for him to rebound from this, and I'm not counting him out, but from what I understand from all the news organizations that I read about on this one, it doesn't look good, and basically, in my opinion, it's just a matter of time. I've known this disease firsthand. I've had a few of my family members being eaten away from this dreaded disease, from my father to my brother to one of my aunts. It's not pretty. It's not pretty, and I feel for the Paterno family in this time of grief. So I feel for them. There's another, I wouldn't say famous, but the well-known sports figure that is dealing with the same dreaded disease. I'm talking about Gary Carter. Gary Carter has been fighting this disease for quite a while. And from what I understand, Gary Carter has also taken a turn for the worse. Supposedly, he had been taking treatment, and they were hopeful that he would turn the corner and get better from his problems with brain cancer. Now, Joe Paterno has lung cancer. Gary Carter has brain cancer. And for what I understand, a few days ago, Gary Carter's brain cancer has worsened, which is quite naturally, and this may be a stupid statement, it's not a good thing, quite naturally. I hate to say it like that, but I'm just speaking the truth here. They found new tumors on his brain, which is not good, and they say his condition has visibly worsened, and the reason they took the MRI is because he began to complain of several headaches, fatigue, and balance problems, and he fell Christmas Day and tore his rotator cuff. So, Gary Carter, the kid, one of my favorite Mets. I am definitely a Met fan, and he's one of my favorite Mets. Little ego, but he could back it up, the ego that he had. I feel for the Carter family going through this time in which they see their husband and father go through this dreaded disease, being brain cancer. It's a tough road to hoe when you have a family member, a loved one, that has that dreaded disease, because it's never easy to deal with. Now, let's get away from that. I don't know how quickly I can segue from that, but I'll do this. I want to talk about, there's several coaches that I have been hired recently. One in particular I think find it very interesting. I think this is a very good hire, and I think what's going to become of it, it will be good for, unfortunately, good for the team that happens to be in the same division as my favorite team. I'm talking about Joe Philbin, who tragically lost his 21-year-old son in a drowning a few days before the Giants were to play the Packers. Well, Joe Philbin was interviewed with the Miami Dolphins along with Mike McCoy. And the consensus was that Mike McCoy was a favorite, and what turned out to be the consensus was not what actually took place. Quite naturally, I said Joe Philbin is the one that actually was hired by the Miami Dolphins. Now, Joe Philbin, if no one knows, is the offensive coordinator for the vaunted Green Bay Packers. Joe Philbin has been the offensive coordinator for the Packers for a few years and helped to groom their present quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to the Miami Dolphins. I happen to be a Jet fan. So this is something I'm dreading. Joe Philbin, I think, is going to, whoever the quarterback's going to be, will groom the quarterback to be an excellent an excellent addition to the Miami Dolphins. They have a decent running game. They have one stud wide receiver. They do have some good pieces. They have a decent defense. They have all the makings of giving a stiff competition in that division, meaning the AFC East. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this Joe Philbin so much is that I'm very high on a young quarterback that's going to be a free agent this year. Remember this, people. Remember this when you're into the fantasy football drafting and this guy is sitting in the 8th and 9th and 10th round and you're looking for a quarterback and you don't know which way to turn. If this kid gets put in the right situation, I do believe he will flourish. I want you to write this name down, put it in your iPhone, put it somewhere that you will be able to retrieve it come preseason and fantasy football drafting time, which will be in August, and make sure that you write this name down somewhere, because I think this guy is going to be the next good quarterback, young quarterback. I think he's been groomed the right way, just like Aaron Rodgers was groomed behind Brett Favre. Matt Flynn. Remember that name, Matt Flynn, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. When given an opportunity, has played well this year. And if you noticed the guy last year when he played a couple times, but I take note of when he played against the New England Patriots. He played very well against the New England Patriots last year, and believe me, I think this guy is going to do the same if he gets an opportunity on a team especially if he goes to Miami. Quite naturally, Philbin's there, and he's going to install the West Coast offense, which a lot of teams are running, or some form of the West Coast offense. But this guy will be an ideal fit, and I do believe this is going to be one of the hottest free agents, young quarterbacks to go after would be Matt Flynn. Remember that. Remember that name, because opportunity to start next year in the NFL somewhere. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, a lot of teams that run the West Coast offense that are going to be looking for a good young quarterback other than the quarterbacks that are coming out of college. This guy has had NFL experience, whereas the quarterbacks that are coming out of college are supposedly, some of them are called NFL ready in quotation marks, or so-called that can't miss in quotation marks. Until a college quarterback plays several downs and games in the NFL, nothing's guaranteed. He could be the best college quarterback going since the last 20 years. There is no guarantee that that's going to equate into the NFL. I'm talking about Andrew Luck and RG3. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Prove me wrong that you guys are legit NFL quarterbacks. Until then, you're just prospects. Until then, you have supposedly high upside. I know that supposedly you have all the intangibles, but intangibles a lot of times don't win ball games. You gotta have. There's other things that go into being a quality NFL quarterback. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. I think probably after the week after the Super Bowl, I'm going to start going and drafting and talking about the rankings. What I see of players for. The 2012 fantasy season. I know it's early. It's just early, but I'm going to start getting your brains tuned to that. Some of you are playing fantasy basketball. When the spring comes, you're going to play fantasy baseball. I don't do any of these things. 24/7, 365 days a year, I study fantasy football. I study players. College players that I see has potential. And I also study all the players and their movements in the NFL. I have had 8 teams this year. I won 2 fantasy football championships. I was in 3. And I made the playoffs in 4 of my 8 fantasy football. I made the playoffs in... Six. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me think for a minute here. Only one. Yes. Okay. Now I realize. I made the playoffs in 7 of the 8 fantasy teams that I had. I went to the second round in 4 of those. I went to the final round in 2 of those. And it's not easy. I won a championship that was rewarded me monetarily wise with the lowest seed. It can be done. I won my championship in that league, believe it or not, I'm bringing it up right now so I can tell you how I won my championship and who I won it with. I won my championship without a Packer or a Saint on my team in the final analysis. I didn't have a Packer or a Saint on my team to win that championship. So it can be done. It can be done. Two of the teams that had one of the most prolific offenses this year were the Saints and the Packers. And I won it without either one of them. So it can be done. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying that sometimes you don't need players that are quite obvious. Sometimes that you can make do with players that if you are able to pick the right players and move them around and put them in the right spot at the right time when they perform at their max, then you can win. I was quite fortunate to win two championships, and each one of them I was one of them I was the sixth seed, and the other one I was the playoff bracket. I was the third seed. Okay, so and I won. So I did it two different ways. And if you have been listening to me, and I'm not beating my drum, but I'm telling you this because I can help people. I can help in all your leagues, PPR, IDP, and regular standard leagues. I do believe I can help you just as well, if not better, than some of these so-called experts, because I pick out players before these so-called experts let you tell you about them. I like I said, I study this just like they study them. I pick out the ones, little-known ones that I can see are about to explode, and I let you know about them. If you've listened to me during the year, during the fantasy football year, and even in preseason, and even before preseason in the lockout, I was telling you about different guys that I saw that that were going to explode. Right off the top of my head, I can think of one that I was beating the drum silly with, and he performed just like I knew he would. It would be Antonio Brown. Everyone thought that Hines Ward or Emmanuel Sanders would be the number two behind Mike Wallace. Well, Antonio Brown was getting just as many targets, if not more at times in games, than Mike Wallace, a well-known player at Mike Wallace. Antonio Brown is an up-and-coming player that's going to be even better this year. I told you about Denarius Moore. Denarius Moore got hurt, but when he did when he was in the game, he performed. This guy is going to explode with Carson Palmer if Carson Palmer is still at the helm. He's definitely he's going to be a second-year player. He performed well when he was healthy, just like Jacoby Ford. These two guys are dynamic players on the Raiders. And the Raiders are a vertical team, and these guys are nothing but pure speed, and they run very good routes. Understand that. I'm getting away from what I was talking about, but don't tell me I got 2 hours here. Okay. Well, that's okay. I got 2 hours. I thought I have an hour, but I have 2 hours. All right, people. This is what we're going to do. Man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. Jacoby Ford and Denarius Moore have a very good very good time to go. Just trust me on this. I also want to say that this will be a year for wide receivers. I had said last year, and let me bring this up. I had said last year that when I was talking to on several other programs, the FFP Crew Show and also the FSP Show, that I would see that the tight ends are going to play a big role in the offenses of this year. People are going to take notes from what the Patriots were doing, and the tight ends were going to come out strong. And what, for the most part, especially for the Patriots, because they used their two tight ends very extensively, they were very, very strong in what they did. And I don't see that going away anytime soon. I see that happening without any issue. I see that that the tight end in the coming years, it's going to be just as athletic as maybe the wide receiver. You have JerMichael Finley, who happens to be on the Packers, who gets spread out quite a bit, just like Aaron Hernandez on the New England Patriots, gets spread out like a wide receiver. they have the size of a tight end, but the speed of a wide receiver, which is a very dangerous combination. Most cornerbacks can't keep up with them quite naturally. Safeties can't keep up with a tight end, and quite naturally, a linebacker can't keep up with a tight end. So you have to understand that this is going to be a tough year. Not a tough year. It's going to be a banner year for tight ends again and in the future. Now, I wanted to talk about the San Francisco 49ers and their team, but I'm gonna wait a little bit on that. I got about a little more than an hour left in this show, so I thought it was an hour show, but it's 2 hours. So there's a few things that I wanted to go over, and this is how we do it. We're going to I just got the news that Joe Paterno has passed away. He passed away about this morning sometime. I just got the news. I knew it was just a matter of time. Cancer is a very ugly disease. And I'm sad to hear that that has happened. College football won't be the same because Joe Paterno was a college football, or the icon. I should say college icon. He was an icon. He was an American icon. He would be remembered as the winningest college football coach in college football history. 46 years he was the coach of Penn State, and he passed away shortly after 10 a.m. this morning. Like I said before, he had been dealing with lung cancer, and at 85, he succumbed to the effects of the cancer. And I'm going to say, like I said before, my heart goes out to the family and friends and loved ones of the Paterno family. I know he fought hard to the end. He stayed positive. And he'll be missed. I don't know what to say. You know, there's not too much you can say about that. anyway, all right. Like I was saying before, and I had gotten away from it, but I'll get right back to what I was saying. Now, I have been talking about Joe Philbin and being the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. They need an influx of some offensive innovator in some offense, and who better to do that than the offensive coordinator from one of the most high-powered offenses of several years, and that being the Green Bay Packers. So, Joe Philbin is the head coach now. He'll bring the West Coast offense to the Miami Dolphins. Brandon Marshall is probably very happy about this, along with the other wide receivers. meaning that Brandon Marshall has been performing pretty well with the quarterbacks he's had. Joe Philbin's going to bring a quarterback in there that's going to be able to feed Brandon Marshall and company the football consistently. And I'm thinking that he has a connection with the free agent I had said before, Matt Flynn, and I'm thinking Matt Flynn, it may be a strong candidate along with to go to the Miami Dolphins. But understand this, from what I also understand, from what I've been reading, is that the Daniel Snyder organization, the Washington Redskins, I shouldn't say Daniel Snyder, I should say Mike Shanahan, and company and his son are very interested in Matt Flynn. So Matt Flynn is going to be a hot commodity. He's probably one of the better backups that may get a starting shot. And I think he's going to be well-deserved, not like Kevin Cobb, not even close. I think he's legit. And I think he should be on your fantasy radar next year, probably the 9th, 10th round, somewhere around there that you probably can get him. If less astute players in fantasy football don't know about this guy and he happens to land in a good spot with a good offensive coordinator, I think this guy could flourish very well and be a sleeper in fantasy football next year. Understand what I'm saying? I told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Write this name down. Matt Flynn. Okay? He will be a hot commodity free agent market. And I do believe that he will be a free agent come time the free agents are available to sign to wherever. He has he's an up and coming quarterback. Let me put it that way. Okay, I may sound like I'm stuttering here, which I am, but I may sound like I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing. I'm thinking and trying to convey so many thoughts here that I know what Mike wants, and I want. I think this guy is this.
I want winners.
And I think he can win for you. I think that he is I think he will do what you need him to do if you draft him like that. I think he's definitely a sleeper to think about. Let me think of what we got here now. All right, let's do this, okay? Let's do this. I'm reading a Facebook comment here that says the many Redskin players are ready to leave the team. Carlos Rogers happens to be with the San Francisco 49ers now. he left the Niners unceremoniously. He left the Redskins unceremoniously. And from what he's saying is that the some Redskin players are ready to leave the team. I can understand that because of the Shanahan connection. Um, anyway, let me put it this way. Barry Cervega of the Washington Post was dispatched to San Francisco to write a story about Carlos Rogers and his revival with San Francisco. And he actually ended up getting a pretty unique quote from Rogers on the situation. This is what he said. He said, this is quote from Carlos Rogers. "People say I wasn't happy. It's just because I spoke out. But it was the truth. It was the truth, and I'm gone. So what is it now? It's still stuff going on. I know the guys on the team, so many guys, is ready to leave. So many guys." And an article goes on and says, let's think about this for a second. Rogers was a member of the Redskins secondary. Currently, there are three members of that secondary who were here while Rogers was unhappy. One is Reed Doughty, and him wanting out isn't exactly breaking news. The other two, D'Angelo Hall, who was a talker, and LaRon Landry, who was a restricted free agent. So he's talking about those guys wanting out. Let me put it this way. I don't know if it's because of the Shanahans and the way they run things, and it's more disciplined, and it's more structured than they can deal with, or it's so the coaching staff is so screwed up. They want out to some place that they can win at because of the situation of the personnel and the coaching staff. You guys got any thoughts on that? Excuse me. You guys, any thoughts on that? The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Excuse me, 347-637-3220. I know Carlos Rogers has been playing very well since he's been with the Harbaugh-led San Francisco 49ers. Pro Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, he's a Pro Bowl-type player. So maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to it. Do you think so? Who knows? Anything is possible. One thing I know is that I talked about this on Friday. on Thursday on the FSP Crew show, and I'm talking about it again. These players on these teams, for some reason, feel compelled to talk about the going on in each other's locker room. I don't understand it. Player from yesteryear, I'm 57 years old. Players from yesteryear would never talk about what's going to happen. What had been happening in the locker room. Never reveal that pertinent information in the press. It never would reveal it because it could be perceived as a sign of weakness to their next opponent. So why would you do that? Or it be used against them in the heat of the battle? Why would you do that? But today's player, with all the social media outlets, Twitter, MySpace at one time, Facebook, and those like that, feel that they need to put that out there, need to be on the cutting edge, need to have the next sensational story to get their 15 minutes of fame. Why? I don't know. It's very disturbing. I happen to be a Jet fan. As you know, I have a coach that is a very flamboyant coach. He talks a lot of smack, talks a lot of swag. He brings a lot of attitude out in the press about, look at us, this is what we're going to do to you. I had a clip that I had played on Thursday with LT about how how, John D., if it's on here now or it's been taken off, how how it had affected the jet team, meaning that there's been so much to do that there's a lot of dysfunction going on in the jet locker room, and the quarterback, he's saying, was pampered, or has been pampered, and that the it needs more competition from the quarterback position. And the fact is, they don't know if Santonio Holmes and Mark Sanchez can coexist because of the animosity and the distrust that's been built up from the mainly from the wide receiver to the quarterback. Now, the head coach has a lot to play with that too, meaning Rex Ryan, and he was on a program a few days ago, a sports program, talking to about it, and he said that he's made some mistakes. He didn't realize, you know, these guys, you think these guys are very smart to be able to get where they're at. They've had to do the right things to be in the right place and say the right things. And for some reason, he thought because of all the things that he said that they were going to do to the opponents, he thought all that weight was going to go on his shoulders. Well, I guess he realized after he got wind, and I don't know how he couldn't have got wind, but he finally found out that his locker room was very dysfunctional, and there was a lot of problems in the locker room, and I don't know if he lost the locker room. There's hints that he may have lost the locker room, that he may have a problem getting it back, or how's he going to get it back? I know he said that he's going to do things differently than he did before. Rex Ryan is very boisterous and say the first thing that comes to my mind type of guy. I don't know how much he can change and make things do things differently. One of my thoughts in this is that Rex Ryan is a type of personality, in my opinion, and I happen to be a Jet fan, so if I'm critical of him, let me premise that, but me saying that I am a Jet fan. I'm a diehard Jet fan. I've been a Jet fan since 1967. That's 44 years. 44 years. I am 57 years old, so ever since I became a teenager, I've been a Jet fan. Since 13 years ago. I mean, when I was 13 years old, I've been a Jet fan for 44 years. So I've seen many a player and many a coach come and go. I like Rex Ryan as a coach. The only thing I can see that Rex Ryan may be at fault is he wants to be liked. He wants his players to like him. Rather than to be a coach, he wants to be liked. And that's a very slim line, a thin line to walk. I think the hiring of Tony Sperano, a no-nonsense type of coach that won't take any BS from any of these players, it's either my way or the highway. I think that's a yang to Rex Ryan's yin. So Rex Ryan can still be stay his personality, and be a relatively, I wouldn't say a nice guy, but be keep his personality and have Tony Sperano, his offensive coordinator, as his pit bull. I truly believe that's one of the reasons, besides Tony Sperano having the philosophy as Rex Ryan of being a ground-and-pound type of coach. Running the football is the main thing. Throwing the football is secondary. Sperano is going to instill that into the Jets. Keep that in mind when draft time comes. Just keep a lookout and see if the Jets draft a running back and what type of running back they draft. Sean Green is not a breakaway running back. He's a ground and pound, not a breakaway type of runner. Joe McKnight, I think, has the possibilities of being that. He has a little bit more burst and speed than Sean Green does, but doesn't have the power. He may need to bulk up a little bit to get some of that power. And Bilal Powell from Louisville was a rookie last year. He has not shown too much. He may be looked at a little harder in the off season or in training camp to see if he can take a couple steps up, move past Joe McKnight, and even, you never know, unseat Sean Green. Now, you have a new offensive coordinator. You don't have a new coach, but you have a new offensive coordinator. So the coordinator is not attached. Coordinator is not attached to one particular running back. If he sees potential in one, if he sees more in one running back versus the other, he's going to take that approach. His job's on the line too. So remember that. Remember his job's on the line too. So if he can get the max out of Bilal Powell versus Sean Green, or max out of Joe McKnight and Bilal Powell, and Sean Green moves down to third, you never know. Sean Green has talent. He doesn't have the type of talent that you want out of your running back that you if you're going to run it a lot. He doesn't have the best of hands. Joe McKnight has better hands. We haven't seen enough of Bilal Powell to see exactly what he can do. So he may get a shot. But I have a funny feeling that the Jets are going to be looking for a running back also. And we'll just have to wait and see. But getting back to what I was saying about the Jet locker room, I think that the root of the problem is this. Brian Schottenheimer, who's moved on to the Rams. His offense, and I'm not discounting Brian Schottenheimer, because let me give you some statistics about Brian Schottenheimer when he was with the Jets. You may be surprised about a few things about the, if I can find it, I had it, if I can find it. Oh, don't tell me it's gone now. I don't have it with me now. I thought I did. Hold on. Do I have it with me? Do I have it with me? I thought I had it. No, I don't have it. Well, the gist of the problem is this. Not problem. What I wanted to say was this. That when Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator for the Jets, he had three good years before Mark Sanchez came with the passing percentage in the 60s, 65%, 64%, thereabouts. Since Mark Sanchez joined the team, the overall pass completion percentage never got above 57%. In fact, never got up to 57%. The third down percentage went down, and this is I'm talking about when Mark Sanchez was there. And for the first time this past year, his red zone percentage went up. Over 60%. Before that, it was in the 30%. So, in my opinion, and a lot, with a lot of Jet fans, I see the root problem, and I think the Jets are in denial of this. I think the root problem is is Mark Sanchez. Plain and simple. I've been a Mark Sanchez supporter since he was there. I've been a Mark Sanchez supporter at least halfway through the season. And then I realized I'm beating a dead horse here. I truly believe Mark Sanchez is not the answer. I truly believe that. He doesn't have any really competition behind him. He has Mark Brunell as the backup quarterback. He's a 40-something-year-old quarterback. He's basically just a mentor and make Mark Sanchez feel better about not being threatened about somebody taking his job. And then he has another player who happened to be a rookie from Alabama, Gary McElroy, who mouthed off. He was one of the first ones to mouth off and said that the Jets locker room was dysfunctional. At the third string or practice, whatever he is. So, first things first, they've said that Mark Sanchez is a quarterback. They stand behind Mark Sanchez. Rex Ryan says that Mark Sanchez is his quarterback. Rex, I love you. I think you're a hell of a coach, but I think you're making a mistake here. I really think you're making a mistake. You got to go out and get a quarterback that's going to give Mr. Sanchez some stiff competition. Now, on the other side, Mr. Manning of the Giants said it would be intriguing to have his brother be a quarterback for the New York Jets. Imagine two Mannings in the same town. Now, I've heard expert commentators say that's not going to happen, that one would say that Peyton's not going to take the limelight from Eli. But Eli says, you know, why not have my brother here? You know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it would be intriguing. I think it would be intriguing. Now, I know I'm a Jet fan, but realistically, I think the Jets have the pieces to be a viable contender. I think it's obvious, especially this year, that's what's holding the Jets back, what's demoralizing the team, what happens to a lot of teams. If you see throughout the years, what happens to a lot of teams that get demoralized, that get fed up, that for some reason don't play hard, you can see the difference in a team when they have a quarterback that they're confident in versus a quarterback that drives the defense and makes a lot of – drives the defense – their defense crazy and drives the offensive players that play with the quarterback crazy and get demoralized. Quarterback is the key position in the team. I don't have to tell you that. If that quarterback isn't performing well, that in that key position, it brings down the offense quite naturally, and it demoralizes the defense because the defense has to spend more time on the field trying to protect the other team from scoring. More time on the field means you're going to get wore out more often than not. And that means that the defense is going to give up scoring plays. You need the quarterback to be consistent. You need the quarterback to inject some hope and confidence in your team. Mark Sanchez, I believe, can't do that. I hate to say it. It rolled out of my mouth. I can't believe I said it, but I said it. I can't believe I just said it, but I have to admit it. I don't think Mark Sanchez is the answer. March 8th is a key date that a lot of people may or may not know. But March 8th is the date that Peyton Manning is either going to be paid his $28 million roster bonus, or the Indianapolis Colts are going to trade him before that or release him. Now, it's very key to find out, hopefully we do find out, if Peyton Manning is healthy by then. If he's healthy by then the Indianapolis Colts have a big problem. This is the problem they have. They already said with the first pick, because they had the worst record, and they're going to get the first pick unless they trade down for some reason. They already said that. The owner already said that with the first pick, they're going to pick Andrew Luck. Well, if they pick Andrew Luck and they keep Peyton Manning on the roster, first of all, Peyton Manning gets a $28 million roster bonus. Second of all, his regular salary is going to be $7 million. So that's $35 million counting against the salary cap already without paying the first-round pick quarterback his money. So you figure that your first-round quarterback is going to get a total of $15 million between signing and a signing bonus and regular salary for that year. So from what I understand, and this is not, I'm not making this stuff up, from what I understand, that just between the two quarterbacks, now the Indianapolis Colts need more help than just quarterbacks. They need help on the offensive line. They need help on the defensive line. They need help because they're getting older. And some of these guys are free agents. Reggie Wayne, for one, is a free agent. I can't name all the free agents right now, but they also have free agents who are older players. So they need to replenish their roster. If they use up all the money on two quarterbacks, how are they going to make up the difference, and get players that they need to try to be competitive in their division? That means $50 million will be spent between Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Do you really think that the Indianapolis Colts are going to keep both those quarterbacks on the roster? Do you really think Andrew Luck's going to be happy regardless if he's a rookie or not? You think he's going to be happy sitting behind Peyton Manning? He's the first pick of the draft, and he's sitting on the bench behind Peyton Manning for whatever amount of years before he actually gets his chance? I don't think so. $50 million is a big salary hit just for two players. Peyton Manning, healthy or not healthy, is not going to be with the Indianapolis Colts. They're just putting off the inevitable. Unless the Indianapolis Colts take that first-round pick and turn it into several picks that they can benefit from, I don't see Peyton Manning. And they also have to make sure that Peyton Manning is healthy. If Peyton Manning is healthy, understand this, March 8th, if he's due that roster bonus. April 26th is when the NFL draft is. So that's 6 weeks apart, approximately. I could be off a week or so, but it's approximately 6 weeks apart from roster bonus to NFL draft. What are you going to do? The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. It's 347-637-3220. What are you going to do with that pick, Indianapolis Colts? If you pick Andrew Luck, will Peyton Manning be on the roster, even if it's a healthy Peyton Manning? I don't think so. Joe Montana got traded away. Kurt Warner got released and put out to pasture. Joe Namath got moved on. There's many a story about players, older players, at one point saying, it's time for you to go. So I can't see why Peyton Manning would be an exception. Peyton Manning, I think, in my opinion, if he's healthy, will play this year, and he will play for another team. He won't play for the Indianapolis Colts, and that means he'll be released. I don't think he'll be traded. He'll be released, and if he's released, he's open season, and there's many a team that will go after Peyton Manning, including the New York Jets. That's why I'm going in a roundabout way saying this. I think the New York Jets are one of the teams that are going after Peyton Manning. I know Daniel Snyder of the Washington Redskins already stated that he'll open up his purse strings and do anything he can to get Peyton Manning in on the roster. But there are other teams that need a quarterback that would go after Peyton Manning. But I don't think Peyton Manning is going to go to a team that's not a competitive team and that doesn't have the pieces that can be competitive. So I would have to question whether he would want to go to the Washington Redskins. There's other teams that I think would want to have Peyton Manning. I don't know if he would be willing to go there. I would think he would. Competitive team. It's playing in a cold weather stadium, in the cold weather. That's the only drawback if you wanted would come to the Jets. The Jets, I think, have the pieces. They have a decent defense. They don't have a world-beater defense like the San Francisco 49ers, but they have a decent defense. They have good offensive parts. They need a quarterback to take control and to be able to get the ball to those parts effectively. And a quarterback like Peyton Manning, as long as he is healthy, can do that. Now, the key is this. Can Peyton Manning sustain himself and keep healthy for 16 games? He's done in the past, but this is now we're into different territory here. We're talking about nerve damage and being able to regenerate the nerve and being strong enough to deliver the football down the field like he used to. I don't know. Who knows? Anything is possible. It could be the end of an era. Peyton Manning, I had said earlier in the year, I thought Peyton Manning was shot. He's making headway. I don't know how much headway he can make to get himself healthy, to be as competitive and perform at this level that he's accustomed to. But we'll have to wait and see to see if he can do that. But without that being said, let's move on. Now, I also said, speaking of the Colts, the Colts got rid of the dynamic duo of Bill and Chris Polian, father and son team. Father's always taking care of his son, and they were dispatched. Away from the team, got a new GM, and they evaluated the coach, and it turned out the coach got canned recently. Jim Caldwell and his staff got canned. They're looking for Brad Childress. They're supposedly going to interview Brad Childress, among others. They also have one Jim Tressel. Which this was a surprise. I wouldn't say it's a surprise to me, but listen to this, and then we'll talk.
Meanwhile, the Colts, are after severing ties early this week with Jim Caldwell, are still on the hunt for a new head coach. Friday, Colts owner Jim Irsay reportedly flew to Florida for a second time to meet with former Ohio State frontman Jim Tressel. Irsay tweeted he expects a decision to be made later in the week.
And it, later in the week means that this is Sunday. So this starts off a new week. Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, said that there will be a decision on a coach by the end of the week. So we're talking like Thursday or Friday, more likely Friday, that there'll be a decision on who to be the next coach for the Indianapolis Colts. They talked to Tressel twice. I know they wanted to talk to if they haven't already, Brad Childress, who used to coach the last time, he used to coach the Minnesota Vikings, and who coached the East, or was it the East or the West? I forget. He coached the winning team in the East-West game, and the West won the game. So he coached the West to win that game. So we'll see what happens. The Colts have a lot of decisions to make. Reggie Wayne, for one. They have some decent young wide receivers. Pierre Garçon is talking about one that can be part of a building block. But they need, depending on what type of coach they get, the GM's in place. The philosophy of the Indianapolis Colts seem like they're cleaning house. And to me, that means a youth movement. To me, that means Peyton Manning is not going to be on the roster, even though they said they haven't said one way or the other. But they've cleaned house. Everything that Peyton Manning knew, it's not there anymore. But like I said, the new coach will help shape what kind of philosophy they're going to have. I foresee the Colts going in a different direction. Like I said, we'll see what happens. They need help on offensive line. The offensive line is getting older. They're not good run blockers. I do believe the next coach that comes in there is going to have a different philosophy, wanting to run the ball more. That means getting more stout, bigger linemen to do the run and pass blocking. So we'll see what happens. Moving on, like I said, we had talked about Joe Philbin. We had talked about the Colts. I know that there's been several interviews that have been done with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They still have yet to pick a coach, and that coach is going to set the direction that team is going to go in. That's one of the youngest teams in the league. They're going to need a very strong coach once they get him on board. Don't know that Glazer family. You don't know which way they're going to go. They're a little bit on the tight side as money wise because they do own a soccer team too. We'll see what happens with them. I don't have a feel for where they're going to go, but there's a strong possibility that they're going to get a no-nonsense coach that is going to do what most coaches do, and that's bring in a philosophy of run first and pass second to help their young quarterback and young team out. Anyway, we got about 40 something minutes, about 40 minutes left in this program, and I want to talk about, and we finally talk about playoffs. Talking about playoffs? How about we talk about some playoffs? How about that? Because I still say that Mike built this team, and let me put it this way. I like this coach. It's unfortunate he got fired midway last year, but Mr. Harbaugh, you are benefiting from the philosophy of this coach.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. And I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
You know who that was. That was Iron Mike. Anyway, the coach that's presently the coach of the San Francisco 49ers has reaped the benefits of putting this team together. He's helped put this team together. He's helped with the same philosophy as Mike Singletary. The key that he has done with this team, he's brought a different attitude. It's basically the same team that Mike Singletary had. But Jim Harbaugh has instilled a different philosophy, a different spirit in this team, which has benefited this team greatly. Jim Harbaugh has reaped the benefits of Mike Singletary straightening Vernon Davis out, or helping straighten Vernon Davis out to be the player that he is now. Jim Harbaugh didn't do that. Mike Singletary did. Remember that, people. We'll have to see. I understand Jim Harbaugh has done a heck of a job, but he, for the most part, had a ready-made team that needed a little better direction than what Mike Singletary had. So before you go and jump on the Jim Harbaugh bandwagon, understand where all these players came from first. He helped resurrect Alex Smith. From the start, he said he believed in Alex Smith. From the start. Now, understand that. Now, understand that Jim Harbaugh is the same, almost the same type of quarterback that Alex Smith is. So he can identify. He can understand. He knows exactly where Alex Smith is coming from. Jim Harbaugh was a hard-knocking quarterback. Alex Smith is a hard-knocking quarterback that didn't want to be with the San Francisco 49ers. Jim Harbaugh convinced them that he was their quarterback and instilled some confidence in him and put him in situations where he could excel. And they're reaping the benefits, especially in the playoffs. And I like that. I like that a lot. All I have to say is that get ready. We got two games coming on. One starting at 3, and the other one starting at 6:30, whatever it is. We got the Baltimore Ravens visiting the New England Patriots. And then the nightcap in prime time, we got the New York Giants flying all the way to the Bay Area, to the West Coast, to the left coast, to play the San Francisco 49ers. One's for the NFC Championship, the other one's for the AFC Championship, with the right to go to the Super Bowl. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be the Brady and Company, Belichick and Brady and Company? Is it going to be Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Ray Rice, Joe Flacco and Company? Is it going to be John Harbaugh? Or is it going to be Tom Coughlin, Eli, Victor Cruz, Brandon Jacobs and Company? Or is it going to be Jim Harbaugh, Vernon Davis, Alex Smith and Company, along with Patrick Willis? Is it going to be Harbaugh versus Harbaugh? Is it going to be Harbaugh versus Coughlin? Is it going to be Belichick versus Harbaugh, or Belichick versus Coughlin? Who's it going to be? If you listen to me, I think I have the answer. If you listen to me, I think I got the puzzle solved. If you listen to me, you may make some money. You never know. I'm going to lay some facts on to you that I feel haven't been addressed, that I feel need to be addressed. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I never go with the so-called experts, for the most part. Sometimes I do, A lot of times I don't. A lot of times I'm right. I don't think I'm going to be wrong this time. I think I'm going to be right about this. I don't know about the over or under or anything like that, but I think I can pick you some winners here. I think I can even beat the point spread in both of these games. I'm going to give you some numbers, some statistics, and some trends. I'm going to give you all that, because I believe there's more than meets the eye. I believe, don't believe the hype. I believe, don't believe the hype. How many times have you listened to so-called experts pump up a team, a person, an organization to only see that team, that person, that organization, when that event happens, that game happens, they fall flat on their face, and it happens to be the other way? Well, all four of these teams didn't get there by chance, didn't get there by luck. All four of these teams have earned their way to the conference championships in the AFC and the NFC. But don't always believe what you see, because what you see can be deceiving. One thing I always say, numbers don't lie. Numbers do not lie. We're going that into the next half hour. I have a half hour left in this show. It's been a 2-hour show. I've been ranting on all by my widow self, but that's okay, because I can vent and say anything I like, because this is the master plan. And yes, my name is JT. Some call me JT Money. Others call me ATM. And I'll tell you why they call me ATM, because I've made several bets with certain people, and those bets have gone not my way. And so you say, why should I trust you when I make these picks? In the next 30 minutes, I'm going to lay out, well, in the next few minutes, it doesn't make a difference, I'm going to lay out my ideas of how I think these games are going to play out. I'm going to give you some numbers. You can do whatever you want with the numbers. Well, but I'm going to give you the numbers, and you decide on whether I'm making sense or I'm just full of it, just spewing out numbers and don't know what I'm talking about. For the most part, I think I do know what I'm talking about. I'm very confident in what I analyze and the things I say to you. I don't just say them just to be saying, just to be talking. I'm not that type of person. I've been around too long to be BSing around. I don't like BSing around. I don't like being BSed. So I'm not going to do that with you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. There's a couple of these teams I do not like, but that's not the reason why I'm either picking them or picking against them. I'm being purely objective in this. I'm looking at pure numbers and pure what I've seen, and hopefully when you listen, you'll think, well, this guy makes a little sense. Why don't I'll put a little wager on it. You may have a betting account. You may be in Delaware. You may be in Delaware or at near a casino that you can make a bet or a parlay bet on this. I'm going to hopefully help you make some money. I think these two games are pretty clear cut, in my opinion. And I think that it's pretty obvious to me, compared to the spewing from so-called experts and what they say about each one of these teams. Now, I mean, you got players and coaches like NFL Network and ESPN, XM Radio, whatever you want to talk about, are giving their opinion on what they see. I'm not an expert. I'm just a little old Mr. Me, HJT, Jerry. I'm just running a little old program here, master plan. But I do believe if you put all the numbers and all the reasons for and reasons against what I feel these teams have going and going for and going against them, I can make a logical claim on why I think one team is going to clearly beat the other, why I think one team is clearly better than the other. I truly believe this, and all I do is ask you, if you want to talk to me, if you want to make a claim in the chat room, the chat room's open. Feel free. Like I said, this is free-for-all Sunday. Anything that you want to say, any statement that you want to make, anything, absolutely anything, it's open season on me. How's that? Open season on the master plan, on JT. I got big shoulders. I can take it. It doesn't bother me. I've been lambasted and talked about before, so if you want to do that, you can do that. You tell me I'm full of it. You can do that. Tell them I'm full of shit. You can tell me. I don't care. Number to call is 347-637-3220. Now, like I said this before, I think I have a very solid reasoning here why I think two of these four teams are clearly going to win and send the other ones packing. I clearly think that. So we'll see what happens here. Now, we've gotten players that called the other players out in both of these games. We have grud matches and drama on both of these teams, on both of these games. We've gotten on the AFC side, the New England Patriots have played the Baltimore Ravens a few years ago, and Baltimore handed New England their butt in the playoffs. In New England, San Francisco handled the Giants last time the Giants played San Francisco. So there's some payback on both sides of this, that an AFC and NFC championship that wants to be paid back to these teams. Giants want to pay San Francisco back, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in particular want to pay the Ravens back. Okay? You think it's going to happen? I don't know. We'll see. But 15 minutes before the show is over with is when I'm going to lay it out. We have 26 minutes left in the show right now. We have about 10 minutes or so is when I'm going to talk about a few other things. And then we'll talk about what I think what's going to happen. Now, quite naturally, we're going to try to think here what I want to play here. Let me play this one here. Okay. I want you to lean back and think about this for a minute. We had a chance to for history to be made. I'm going in a different direction here, people. I'm straying away from football. I'm going into boxing before I get back into football. Now, we had a big conversation yesterday about two of the best boxers in the world right now, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. Quite naturally, Floyd Mayweather made a pact with the judge. Not a pact, but the judge agreed that he wouldn't go to jail. He could go fight on my birthday, which is Cinco de Mayo, which is May 5th. MGM is supposed to be hosting the fight. 17,000 seat arena. Manny Pacquiao says, "Sure, I want to fight, but I want to fight 2 weeks later in an arena that'll house 45,000. I'm guaranteed a 50-50 split. Well, I'm guaranteed money from my promoter. Can you get guaranteed from your promoter? Can we fight 2 weeks later into a 45,000 seat arena? 50-50 split between you and I, Sugar Ray?" Not Sugar Ray, but Floyd Mayweather. "Can we do that?" Floyd Mayweather says, "Wait a minute. You can guarantee. I want to guarantee. I want to guarantee 50-50 split." Manny Pacquiao says, "Wait a minute. You got to get a guarantee from your promoter, who won't give Mayweather a guarantee." Now, who's ducking who here? We had a heated conversation on a different show about this. I don't think Pacquiao is and from what we had on the other show, I think that some people said that Pacquiao was ducking Sugar Ray. It's just another way ducking Floyd Mayweather. And this was just another way of ducking. I don't think so. It made physical sense to me that why fight in a 17,000 seat arena when you can wait 2 weeks and fight in a 45,000 seat arena. That's over twice as many seats, over twice as many seats as the arena that you originally want to fight in. That's more revenue. That's more money in our pocket. Meaning Pacquiao talking to Floyd. That's more money in our pocket. More money in the promoter's pocket. More money in the venue's pocket. Everybody benefits from that. We'll see what happens. Whether it's May 5th or May 22nd. Or 19th, whatever it is. 2 weeks from May 5th is May 19th. If it's May 19th, then all the better. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I want to be there. Wherever it's going to be, I want to be there. If it's going to be in Vegas, as long as I know I'm going to try to get my little ducats in order, my little pennies in order so I can make the trip out there to watch this fight, because this is going to be a monumental fight. I happen to be a Mayweather fan of the fighter, not the person. I think he's the best fighter pound for pound in the world. And this is probably one of the most exciting fights that's highly anticipated in any weight class. Quite naturally, in the heavyweight class, there's really no one there, really. It's a sad state of boxing that there's really not a lot of competitive fights out there. Everyone likes to see real good heavyweight fights, and it's really not competitive fights out there for that. So, it is what it is. What can I tell you? I just had to throw that out there because it just irritated me yesterday, and it stayed with me from yesterday, and I had to get it out there. Unfortunately, I've been sitting here for 2 hours. No one's called me, but that's okay. That's fine. It's you and I. Whoever's been listening, it's you and I. That's not a problem. Master plan, and it goes on, and the master can talk till the cows come home. So that's what we do. We roll like that when we have to. I enjoy one-on-one talk all the time. You're the one, I'm the one, it's a one-way conversation for now, but that's fine. Hopefully you come back next week and listen to my other rant. You know what? I said 2 weeks. I think I'm going to start talking to fantasy football, mock draft, next week. I'm going to give you some players to look at. Make a little short note, a little note to the side. Say, the master said, look at this person in the off season. Look at this person in the summer. Look at this person in the preseason and into the season going next year. He said this could be a sleeper. This could be a guy that you could pick up late in the draft in fantasy, and he could be a stud. I think I'll start that next week. I think I'll do that, and I think you'd be surprised at some of the picks. But for right now, let's get this thing going. Let's start this thing off with the New York Giants. Going to the San Francisco 49ers and playing the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I think the San Francisco 49ers, if I'm not mistaken, are favored in this game. If I'm not mistaken, they're favored. I'm looking this up now, but I think they're favored. And let's see if they're favored or not. I think the San Francisco 49ers are favored by 2.5. Some people tell me this, that if it's a close game, the home team is usually favored by 3 points, given the home team advantage. But because the line is 2.5, now this is a thinking a half. This is because it's 2.5, the visiting team is favored by 0.5 point. Is that true? Is that really true? Well, let me lay this on you. Let me lay this on you. Now, The Giants season has been like this. The Giants have played, and I'm saying it in the last, since the December 24th, Christmas Eve. Okay? The Giants won. They beat my Jets. Then they played on the first for the division. They beat the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? Then they played home and they beat the Atlanta Falcons. Then they went on the road and played the vaunted Green Bay Packers and beat the Green Bay Packers. The Giants have won 4 games in a row. 3 of those games were at home. Okay? 3 of those games were at home. They played their first road game in 5 games at Green Bay. So they traveled to Green Bay, won a big game, and then traveled home. Then yesterday, they landed in San Francisco from the East Coast to the West Coast. This is my thinking. The Giants have played the Giants have played 4 games at a high level. The last game on the road. From Green Bay, they went home. Then they flew out to San Francisco, the West Coast. In my opinion, the Giants are due for a letdown. In my opinion, East Coast to West Coast. This is what I'm saying. They had 4 straight games where they played at a high level. The intensity was very high. Now they're going knock one. Second game on the road. East Coast, not 2. East Coast to West Coast. Number 3. 4 games straight, they win. They're due for a letdown. That's 3 knocks right there. Number 4. Giants have beaten 3 teams all season. Now listen to me when I say this. The Giants have beaten 3 teams all season with a winning record. They've beaten 3 teams all season with a winning record. They beat New England is the only team in the regular season they beat. Only team with a winning record in the regular season that the Giants beat. Look at their record. All the teams they played, either 500 or less. Only one team they've beaten in the regular season with a winning record. The other 2 teams they've beaten with a winning record, they've done it in the playoffs. I don't think the Giants can do it. I don't think the Giants can do it. Reason being is this. San Francisco has beaten 5 teams with a winning record. They've beaten 5 teams with a winning record. And of those 5 teams, only one team, which was the New Orleans Saints, they beat with a winning record. So in the regular season, San Francisco has beaten 4 teams with a winning record. The Giants have only beaten 1 team with a winning record. Remember that. That's why I'm picking the San Francisco Giants with the 2.5 to win the game. Don't believe the hype. The Giants are hot. They have a pass rush. Well, hello, San Francisco is no slouch in the pass rush department. Hello, San Francisco is playing home. Hello, San Francisco has a very good run defense. Hello, San Francisco, 43, if I'm not mistaken, it's 43-11, or 48-11, something like that, meaning 48 turnovers or 43 turnovers they've created, and they only turned the ball over only 11 times. So if San Francisco can turn the ball over 5 times from the New Orleans Saints and cause havoc for Drew Brees, who's a mobile quarterback, what do you think they're going to do with Eli playing at home, playing on a wet field, who happens to be their own field? If it was a wet field and they're away, it may be a different story, but they're playing home. They know their field better than anyone else. They know their field better than anyone else. It's going to be an off track. Running is not going to be possible because they're a stout running defense, and they can get turnovers. I like San Francisco 49ers a lot in this game. A lot. 2.5 points may not be enough in this game. I do believe San Francisco will win this game handily. Okay? Now, I've given you that. Now, like I said, Giants have only beaten one team in a regular season, two teams in the playoffs. I understand the Giants are hot. I understand who they beat. They beat Atlanta, and they also beat Green Bay. I understand that. They haven't. Once they came up against this type of defense, they played San Francisco in San Francisco last time. San Francisco beat them. Frank Gore wasn't in the game, and Michael Boley wasn't in the game. But Frank Gore is back. Michael Boley is back. I'm telling you, people, don't discount the San Francisco 49ers. Don't just think Alex Smith is going to fold up like a tent in this game, and Eli is going to completely dominate this game. San Francisco is no slouch in the pass rush department. You can believe that. Okay, I've gotten that out of the way. We got a little more than 8 minutes left in the show. Now we're going to the New England Patriots hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone looked at what Baltimore was doing against Texas and think that the Baltimore is more or less not going to have too much of a shot against the vaunted New England Patriots. Well, I'm here to tell you this. New England Patriots, and this is a statistical fact, if you look at it, the New England Patriots has not beat a team all year with a winning record, including the playoff. New England has not beat a winning team in the playoffs. I mean, winning team all year, not just the playoffs. They have not beat a winning team. When they came up against a winning team, hold on a minute. I'm giving it to you right now. When they came up against a winning team, okay, they played, let me see, who has a winning team here? Pittsburgh, New York. They played the New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those two teams have winning records, and they lost to both of them. They beat all the teams that either are 500 or below. So, people, you think New England's had an easy way to go? They're up against a winning team. Baltimore Ravens. Now, let me give you this statistic. And I told you San Francisco has beaten five teams that have a winning record, and one of them in the playoffs. New England hasn't beat a team with a winning record all year. The Giants have beaten only one team in the regular season with a winning record and two in the playoffs. Baltimore Ravens have beaten seven teams with a winning record, six of those in the regular season, one of those in the playoffs. People, I'm telling you, these two games are almost a lock to me. They're almost a lock to me. They're telling me that the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens have played stiffer competition the whole season, including playoffs. They've gone up against more teams with winning records than the two teams everybody is jumping on the bandwagon for, the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. I'm seeing a hardball championship. I can't see any other way. I'm seeing a hardball championship. I'm seeing the love of the two brothers coming together and sitting aside for one day, the Super Bowl, and the two brothers, a historical event with their two hard-nosed teams, two defensive teams, defensive-minded teams playing each other. An old-school type of Super Bowl. When's the last time that, and I'll play this song, Strapped Up, Strapped. When's the last time that You've had two teams, not just one, two teams with the same style meet in the Super Bowl, meaning running the ball first and then passing second with a stout defense. This can happen. I believe it can happen. They say defenses win championships. Well, the AFC and the NFC championship, I feel, are going to be won by the team with the best defense, and that's in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens, and in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. I believe the Ravens have Tom Brady's number. Tom Brady has, in recent years, struggled against the Baltimore Ravens defense, and I think it's going to happen again today. Eli Manning is going to struggle on a soggy field against the vaunted San Francisco 49ers defense. With that being said, it's almost time for me to go. And since it's almost time for me to go, I had talked about some other people that were passed away. But there's one person I wanted to talk about that she recently passed away. I can't believe I can't find it now. And what the heck is it at? Oh, man, I can't believe it. I can't find it now when I want to find it. Is it over here? I can't believe I can't find it now. Talking about Etta James. Etta James, if no one knows, happens to be a singer who passed away in the last few days. And here it is. She happened to pass away in the last few days. And you know, you've seen that movie Chess Records or whatever it is with Beyonce. She was the lead singer. She sang Etta James' song At Last. Well, I don't want to end this with an Etta James song, At Last. Everybody's heard this, okay? Very few people would associate this song with jazz great Louis Prima. He happens to be a jazz great from back in the 40s. But he wrote in 1946, along with Barbara Bell, Anita Leonard, and Stan Rhodes, a song that Etta James did over again called A Sunday Kind of Love, which, like I said, was popularly recorded in 1946 by Claude Thornhill and his orchestra, with Fran Warren doing the vocal. And like I said, it has since been recorded by many, including this version by Etta James in 1961. Now, I want to end the show with Etta James. God bless you, Etta James. You are one of the all-time legends. Rest in peace, Queen James. I want to thank you for listening to the Master Plan. Tune in on Thursday for the Master Plan. The FSB Cruise Show with me. Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, bringing you news and notes and talking about whatever is happening in the sports at the time, even politics could be. And on our FSP show with Vic, myself, and Black, we talk about that, all kinds of stuff on Saturday. And again, like I said, the Master Plan is going to be up and about again on 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And we have a new show, which is going to air on Tuesday at 4 o'clock to 4:30. Tune in, because it'll be a very interesting show. It's very different from our normal shows, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised on the content of the show. It happens to be a very innovative show that Vic brought about. It's something that I think you'll enjoy, something that you'll enjoy. It's Compassion to Connie. It's like I said, the premiere show is going to start on Tuesday, January the 24th. It's a half-hour show. It starts at 4 o'clock. This show will offer you more than 100 wonderful words of wisdom to help you empower your life by spreading compassion through action, turning fear-based attitude to faith and gratitude, and nurturing the soil of your soul. Tune in. I'm going to tune in because I want to hear it. With that being said, I'm talking about a Super Bowl with two brothers. And like I said, Etta James, you rest in peace, my queen. When all the legends are gone, who will we have left? We'll just have a Sunday kind of love. Till then, be well. And like I said, this is in tribute to a legend that's gone but not forgotten. We're talking about Etta James. A Sunday Kind of Love.
I want a Sunday kind of love. A love to last past Saturday night. And I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight. I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah. I want a love that's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road. Nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. I do my Sunday dreaming, oh yeah, and all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. A certain kind of lover who will show me the way in my need. Someone to enfold, to keep me warm when Mondays and Tuesdays grow cold. Love for all my life. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.